You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got all the issues ready to be covered for you, local, state, national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, today, I just realized what day this is. I was literally about to say today is Wednesday. No, today is hump day. Hit that.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is.
It's hump day.
All right, welcome to it. Welcome to the middle of the week, halfway to the extended weekend, by the way. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Congratulations to you for making it this far. And we're going to keep you going all the way through to the end. So, all that to say, and Boomer's running the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Okay, British Boomer is with us today.
That's about all I can do in British accent. So.
that needs some fish and chips, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 3:30 today. Becky Gerritsen, our friend Becky Gerritsen, been on the show many times from the Eagle Forum of Alabama, a conservative advocate. She's out there in the trenches. She's going to be on with us to talk about what did or did not happen last night in the state legislature regarding school choice. So stay tuned for that one. 3:30 p.m. today, Becky Gerritsen from the Eagle Forum calling in. And then at 4 o'clock, it is Wednesday. It is not just the day we play the camel. 4 o'clock is also the day when we set aside some time at the 4 o'clock hour for the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, who do conservative radio themselves. And we ping each other with questions and run down the issues and just see how we do. So, yeah. Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, 4 o'clock. And then there's that whole triple dipper on hump day, so get it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So, all right, here's the thing. Number one out the gate, Stealing the Rainbow. That's an unusual title, Stealing the Rainbow. If you ever stop to wonder why the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym groups use a rainbow? I mean, the rainbow is actually God's promise, a symbol of God's promise to his people. They're trying to co-opt it, and the reality is we're going to talk through some things that have happened here of late that are pretty interesting. Stealing the rainbow, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, limited choice, because when it comes to school, that's what you got in Alabama. You got some limited choice. They passed a very tepid school choice bill. Like, they bypassed everything meaningful yesterday, and they kind of went down the lukewarm route in the legislature. And we'll talk about that. Number two on the triple dipper, limited choice. And then number three, dumbing us down. I mean, I'm going to give you some stuff here in my monologue in a moment, but then I've got a whole dipper set aside to give you the specifics on it. What's happening around the nation right now? As well-meaning individuals, allegedly, are pushing the entire nation to be, you know, participation trophies. I mean, I got to ask you, do you really want the doctor operating on you who got a participation trophy regarding medical school? I'd think the answer would be no. So anyway, number three, triple dipper, dumbing us down. All right, with that in mind, let me move over to my monologue for the day. Okay, so I'm going to go down that road again. Serious question. If you found out that you required major surgery tomorrow, an emergency procedure with life-altering consequences, would you want a good surgeon? I mean, seriously, would you want a good surgeon who passed all the entrance exams, was accepted into a qualified medical school, met all the rigorous standards, completed a qualifying residency, had some experience to boot? Or would you just want the guy who was ushered into med school in order to make their diversity numbers look better and wasn't required to meet the same standards as the other doctors? It's a fair question, and I'm pretty sure I know your answer. You want the best you can get, right? But at the very least, you want one that has met all the necessary standards for success. Nobody wants to believe that the people that have important roles in their lives were given a pass on what it takes to perform. But that's exactly what's happening as the progressive left works to dumb down America by claiming that the enforcement of standards creates an inequity, or for that matter, that standards somehow mean racism. Well, the analogy was made on this show the other day that if a professional sports team chose to draft their athletes based on diversity, that we would have some sorry teams. I mean, just pick one. Can you imagine if the, say, Tennessee Titans were building for a run at an epic team, but they knew they were weak in the defensive secondary and mediocre on the offensive line, so they look over all the combine results. They find the candidates they can afford who were the best of the best, only to have the DEI officer, for the team, inform them that it was more important to have players from a certain demographic or a certain lifestyle because diversity means more than winning. Well, I'm pretty sure they do that. That team's going to finish low in the final results and all their fantasy football scores won't be worth the time it takes to read the sports page. The question should always be about enforcing standards, setting the bar high, expecting productivity, period. You probably heard me say before that my experiences at Army Ranger School added up to one of the best, worst experiences in my life. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but I never once desired to go back and run through it again, I can tell you. But I'm also proud of it. There was no quarter given, but there was also none expected. It was brutally hard. It was designed to prove whether or not a person was truly worthy of wearing the Ranger tab on their uniform. I went into the class with 450 people showing up on day one. 98 were in my graduating class. And during that time, I lost over 30 pounds. I had frostbite and trench foot both on my feet. I spent time in a hospital, had who knows how many hallucinations from lack of sleep, but that was the way of it. There was no Ranger instructor that was going to go easy on us. The standards were what the standards were, and you had to meet or exceed them to graduate. But I'll tell you one more thing that happened to me. I had to personally do the swamp phase twice. Injuries and patrolling and time in the hospital meant that I was given two choices. I could quit and walk away without my Ranger tab, or I could recycle into the next class coming through. There was no watering down of the standards. No quarter was given. No, don't even bother asking. So I waited in a place they called the gulag, and I did every sorry detail like mopping floors and cleaning latrines and working KP in the mess hall and whatever else they could think of to make me miserable, and then I started the swamp phase over again. And when they told me those were my options, quit or start over, it was one of the most emotional moments I've ever had in uniform. I did not want to do that again, not for a second. But I had a chance in the middle of it to call Charlene. On the payphone right outside the barracks, I'll never forget, she said it that day. She said this, quote, she said, "Don't you quit. Don't you do it. You can do this, and if you were to quit, you'd regret it for the rest of your life." Well, I needed that bolstering, and I did stay, and I excelled, and I got that tab pinned on at Victory Pond at Fort Benning. But nowhere in that discussion, by the way, was there ever an inkling of, woe is me, let's lower the standards, help Phil out by giving him something he didn't earn. The standards were not going to be lowered. My challenge was to meet or exceed them. Well, there's a movement afoot right now to lower the standards that our society has relied upon for all of history. Currently, DEI progressives are claiming that standardized testing for admissions to colleges and universities is racist and should be done away with. Just take them all. And oh, by the way, take their tuition money. And while you're at it, let's give them free tuition. So no standards for admission and then no responsibility for payment. That's going to go swimmingly. There's another effort underway to do away with the MCAT test. That's the one you have to take for acceptance into medical school. Do away with it? Yeah. So the people who are going to cut us, diagnose us, heal us, are not going to be assessed as to their aptitude for doing so? I mean, does that inspire confidence in the medical profession? Not by a stretch. Others are also now calling for a blanket bar exam with reduced standards for admission to the practice of law. So let me ask you this, how badly do you want the lawyer that was handed his license as opposed to earning it to represent you in a criminal proceeding or a divorce or the drafting of a key contract upon which your livelihood relies? Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it at all. CPAs, there's another one. CPAs are having to buck a similar trend at reducing the amount of time a CPA must have served before being given his or her title. So as the IRS hires 87,000 new IRS agents to investigate your tax liabilities, do you really want the bar lowered on the people who help you handle your company's accounting? I didn't think so. Well, these and other examples are what I call the dumbing down of America. The idea that lowering the standards somehow increases opportunity is a fallacy. There's no joy in knowing that you were given a participation trophy versus earning one the hard way. This is America. This is the land of opportunity, a place where anyone can be anything, but not because anything was just given to anyone. It's a place of success based on merit. It's a place where hard work is allowed to pay off. When we lower the standards to give someone access to something they have not achieved at all we do is insult them, and we degrade the profession as a whole. Ronald Reagan once said, quote, "My philosophy as life is that if we make up our mind what we're going to make of our lives and then work hard toward that goal, we never lose. Somehow we win out." Well, nowhere in that quote did you hear that hard work is not necessary or that standards should be lowered to allow for more access. Nowhere in medical school or the legal profession or to become a CPA or an Army Ranger or any number of other things that are supposed to be hard do you hear of any good things coming because folks were given a participation trophy. So I say keep the bar high and be proud of the work that it takes to get over that bar, because that's how we maintain our success as a society. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I can tell you right now, in the conversations I've had with Boomer, he would agree, we do not abide by participation trophies. Not at all. And if you're going to say that you earned something, then don't let it be because you have an asterisk by your name that says you really didn't earn it. It was handed to you. It's a whole lot different. And we want to know, too, by the way, that the best of the best are the ones working for us. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. All right, so animated discussion during the break.
I just wish y'all could have seen it.
Hey, so angry Boomer
came up. I'm standing up shouting over here.
I don't know what's happening right now. It's like, wow. No more.
I was told I can't have any more caffeine.
No more caffeine for Boomer. But so you guys did a podcast this week, kind of went down some roads you were passionate about, too. Oh, so we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But so hot button issues for you right now are rainbow flags at Target.
Yes.
And participation trophies for kids.
Yes. Very passionate about all those things.
It's good, though.
It's good, yeah.
All right.
So, very, very good.
So I want to push your buttons from now on.
Exactly what to start. Just bring up.
We can be sitting here just calmly, and I'll go, Boomer, participation trophies.
No!
Boomer, rainbow flags.
I get so uptight about all those things.
You don't have your camera on right now.
I don't,
now,
so because people would just even laugh at me
more. Your face getting red.
I'm like, ah!
Turn your camera on. You turn it on right now. I'm just telling you. This conversation is too funny. But, all right, but hey, let me ask you a question. So, yeah. Participation trophies are a little different than what I was talking about. I was talking about raising the bar for access to the opportunities, you know, changing the standards so people don't have to worry about whether they can succeed or not.
Right.
And then, so
that even irks me even more.
Okay.
Than, like, in my head, yes, that is like, that trumps in my head what participation trophy is.
Okay.
Participation trophy for me is like, oh, you did a great job this year. Here you go. Here's a trophy. You didn't win, but I'm going to give you a trophy anyway. No! First, second, or third. Okay, get it. Awesome. Great job, guys. No!
Okay. All right. Well, then let me ask you. How do you feel about, like, having team T-shirts and stuff like that? I mean, stuff like that.
I don't mind if they get, like, during the season, if they're wearing a team T-shirt to play in and stuff like that. Awesome.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
That's fine. I guess that's branding your team.
But
or
you're
whatever.
Like, you're like, don't reward mediocrity.
No, don't.
Okay. So, all right. Go back. So then I would anticipate that you're still of the mind that people should have to try out for the team as opposed to just be given a spot on the team.
Absolutely.
See,
now,
I think that matters.
I will say the rec leagues like PAX is in right now. obviously, I want every kid to have a chance. I want them to have fun. I want them to do their thing. But I don't believe that they should earn a trophy at the end of the season.
And I still believe they should keep scoring at that age.
Oh, absolutely. You better believe I was keeping score and I was yelling it out.
So is it one of those kind of things where the league doesn't keep score, but the dads do?
I guess. I mean, Pax's team didn't win ever, but I was yelling out the score anyway.
There was a whole episode of Everybody Loves Raymond on that very thing.
Yeah. So they needed to know. Like, Pax like, we won. I'm like, no, dude, you lost like by 20 points.
All right. But then, you played a lot of sports going on up through like high school and towards college and all that too. So, did you ever see folks get on the team who shouldn't have been there at all? Did y'all have tryouts?
I mean, I would say upwards in the, you know, the college.
At your high school, days, you went to a small school. So slim pickings on who could play.
Right.
Just by size.
And honestly, what I applauded for that was there may not have been tryouts, but the best person on the field should have been on the field.
Right.
And guess what? I was taken off the field a lot because I was terrible at sometimes.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. By the way, I was at your house not long ago. I saw your room full of participation trophies.
I threw all the participation trophies away.
Okay. All right. So then we look at life. Like for instance, you know, I mentioned the medical field and the idea or military right now. Military had to lower its standards for recruiting and by the way, lowered the standards for the physical fitness test. Oh. Like a lot.
So in that should never, in my mind, ever happen. In the professional world, in adulthood, why in the world are we dumbing things down for careers that actually need to be good at, you know?
Diversity.
Yes, but that's where our government is getting everything wrong right now.
This is important, Boomer. This is diversity.
Like, I know there's all everything. Those people out there that are like, I don't want that participation trophy cutting me open. I don't want, you know, I don't want that participation trophy flying me to New York City. You know, there's
pilots.
So many different things.
That's exactly
taxi
right.
drivers, you want to jump in a car that.
I'm going to put a drill on your teeth. But I didn't really, you know, have to do much to get into dental school.
Oh, see?
They asked me a question. I said, I like teeth. They said, you're in.
Oh, man. See, that's just a whole nother level of the participation trophy. Like, you should not be handing these things out. They should step into the school that they're supposed to be in and earn it.
Angry Boomer has spoken.
Yes. Very passionate about that.
That's all good, man. I mean, I'm digging it. That is, you're spot on.
You know what to get me talking.
I'm all in, bro. So I'm just going to come in the morning and I'm going to look at you and go, rainbow flags.
Oh, there's a whole nother thing we could talk
participation
about.
Participation trophies. Just watch your head explode.
Exactly. You'll start getting... Getting everything boiling inside.
Oh my gosh! All right, hey, listen, we're gonna jump in feet first here in a minute, and I suspect based upon the monologue, but podcast that Boomer McQueen just issued out today, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're gonna want to hear it. By the way, it's a good. What'd y'all title that one? Did you title it?
Oh boy, McQueen titled it. I don't actually remember what it was.
Okay, so but it was a good rant though, wasn't it?
It was a very good rant, very passionate rant.
All right. It's similar to the topics we're going to cover here in a minute, stealing the rainbow. Yeah, we're going to talk about what in heaven's name is going on. And oh, by the way, Target has lost their ever-loving minds. Tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. And Just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. So Genesis 9:13. I have set my bow in the clouds as a covenant between me and thee. So at the end of the in Scripture, at the end of the flood, when the waters receded and the ark came to rest upon Mount Ararat, and Noah and his family and the animals came out, and depending upon which version you read, like here's the New International Version, Genesis 9:13. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow has scripturally always been God's evidence of his promise not to flood the earth again. It's a sign. It's a physical sign, a manifestation of his covenant, his agreement, his promise between himself and the earth. That's the only time that's going to happen. That's the only time it's going to happen. That's my rainbow in the clouds is my sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Isn't it funny how a symbol of God's promise has become the symbol of the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym movements? Funny how that worked out, huh? Just like the word gay. If you look it up, gay used to mean happy. You know, the old song like when Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah. You know, we'll all be gay when Johnny comes marching home. Say that now, and everybody's like, hey, what? What'd you just do? Drinking your Bud Light? What are we doing here? Now, see, it's funny how things get co-opted like that. Well, I've done this whole triple dipper, this first dipper. I'm calling it Stealing the Rainbow. Because there is an absolute, and when I get into this first story, if you haven't already heard it, it's going to curl your hair. There is an absolute intent to co-opt symbols of godliness or positivity by the left. They don't want us to even have those symbols available anymore. They're not ours. That rainbow is not yours. You know, Boomer and I were talking off the air. You put a rainbow in a kid's classroom, and it might be a symbol that some teacher somewhere is trying to teach kids things they don't need to be a part of. It's sad. It's not supposed to be that way. But we have to keep our heads on a swivel, watch it, and know it for what it is. All right? That's my point. We got to watch it and know it for what it is. So Stealing the Rainbow. First thing I got out the gate on this one, though, is a story about Target. I'm going to tell you right now, Target has stepped in with both feet. And by the way, don't think that what I'm about to talk about happened overnight. Like somebody at Target went, did we do that? They knew what they were doing. It takes months. It takes a year in advance sometimes of preparation for major events. When you've got somebody doing the ordering for an entire chain of stores, and they're setting up all the displays and they're ordering them specially made, I got news. That does not happen on short term. That's planned out well in advance. And that also, by the way, when you've got a brand as big as Target, when you've got a brand as big as Bud Light, when you've got a brand as big as some of the others that are out there that are going woke, well, first of all, their staff are paid to inspect the quality of what's being brought to bear because they don't want to sell crappy goods, right? So don't think for a second that this one slid by. Oh, man, we didn't realize. How did that happen? Who let that through? You did. Your old boardroom did. Your marketing department, your purchasing department, your logistics department, you all did. You know exactly what you did. Fox News is one of the many sources for this particular story. Headline dated today. Target customers are shocked after the company features pride items by Satanist partner that say things like the devil is about hope and love. Okay. By the way, these are all on rainbow displays, all right? Story here says Target has found itself in hot water again over its gay pride collection, this time because of its partnership with a controversial designer. The major retailer, Target, partnered with UK-based brand Abpralin to sell merchandise with pro-LGBTQ messages to celebrate Pride Month. All right. A search on Target's website finds some of the items. So while the company was already under a microscope for its tuck-friendly swimsuits, Some social media users were also angered to discover that Ab Pralin, the designer, Eric Carnell, is also an outspoken Satanist whose brand features occult imagery and images and messages like Satan respects your pronouns on their brand apparel. Yep. Pray tell, who at Target made this decision? They didn't check this out? They checked it out. They knew what they were doing. Ab Pralin also sells merchandise with aggressive messages attacking its critics. Pins that have things like phrases like heteronormativity is a plague, or burn down the system, with cis spelled C-I-S, meaning people who are straight, featured on its website. And then one of them is a homophobe headrest, which is a guillotine. The guy I'm talking about, Eric Carnell, the transgender designer behind the brand, he explained in an Instagram post that Satan really just represents passion and pride and liberty and loves all LGBTQ plus people. Sure. Here's his quote. You ready? This is insulting, by the way. Satanists don't actually believe in Satan. He's merely used as a symbol of passion and pride and liberty. He means to you what you need him to mean. So for me, he says, Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. So naturally, Satan respects pronouns. He loves all LGBTQ plus people. I went with a variation of the Baphomet for this design. Wow. A deity who themselves is a mixture of genders and beings and ideas and existences. And they reject binary stereotypes and expectations. It's perfect. Okay, let me do some splaining to you. First of all, Satanists don't believe in Satan, then why are they calling it Satanism? Just a question. Somebody please explain, why is that necessary? If you don't believe in him, then why do you recognize it as a thing? All right, there's that. You're not Satanists, but yet you're using the Baphomet symbol, which is a symbol of Satanism. You're not allowed to just take it, use it, and then claim you didn't mean it. You knew exactly what you were doing. Or how about this? Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. I got news. He's here to steal and kill and destroy. That's what we all know to be true. And everybody also knows true that that's the opposite of where Christ is. So here we are being completely insulted by Target. Target has set itself up to insult and demean its client base. Customers who have rewarded that company with, you know, getting their red cards so they can go in there and get discounts and ordering online and being glad that Target's available for them to purchase the goods that they bring to the shelves and the great pricing and the locations and all of it are now finding themselves completely demeaned by a store that can give a rat's hind in about the most sacred beliefs that they have. How does that really go over in the boardroom? Hey, I tell you what, let's do this. What do people care about? Well, they care about their faith. Yeah. How can we screw with their faith? Is this a decision-making process at Target? Is this what they do? Well, you know, I got news. I'm a little concerned about the fact that we don't have any, well, you know, tuck-friendly swimwear for kids. What does that mean? Well, you know, some kids want to pretend that there's something else on the beach. We need to give them an opportunity. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And while we're at it, let's have men pose in women's swimwear. That's awesome. This is going to go over so well, don't you think? Well, it didn't, because panic set in yesterday. They started having, Boomer was laughing, they called it a Bud Light moment. They realized they were having a Bud Light moment as suddenly people were lashing out and going, hey, this is not working for my store, thank you very much. We're in South Carolina. We're in Alabama. We're in Georgia. This ain't flying. This is not a San Francisco-based store. And so while we may have stuff going on in our state that would have people, of course, that are like, what's the big deal? The vast majority see the big deal. The vast majority see the big deal. And so managers from Target stores, separate story that I had yesterday, began to have complete freakouts and calling corporate saying, listen, you are hosing me by making me set these displays up and all these tuck-friendly swimsuits and gay pride events and Baphomet symbols with, you know, Satan loves your pronouns. What in God's name? Well, it wasn't in God's name, let's put it that way. But then, so corporate suddenly reversed course and gave all the Target stores the opportunity to, take down some of that signage, put it in the back, because they recognize that what's happening right now, still to this moment with Bud Light. I mean, I'm looking at a story, where'd it go? Beer industry in shock over sustained Bud Light backlash. Expert warns of shortages. Says they're drowning in their sorrows. What we're seeing right now is that the Coors Light and Miller Light can't keep their supplies on the shelf because people who don't want to buy Bud Light are buying out the stock of other beers. And the entire beer industry is floored that Bud Light is still taking heat. Well, I got news. People are sick of it. You can't steal the rainbow and expect somebody to go, ah, no big deal. Ah, we got some Satanistic rainbow stealers sitting there in our store, but it's okay. I'm going to drink me a Bud Light and I won't feel it anymore. No, it's not going to work. People have had it. And Target is starting to feel the heat. Well, it's not just there, all right? Issues in schools and issues like, how about the drag queen, you know, show that took place in Birmingham the other day where kids were giving tips to the drag performers, children, throwing dollars up on the stage? Or how about, for that matter, the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health that our state health officer, Scott Harris, was on their board until most recently, and what they say about transgender secrets being kept from parents. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Number one, the Triple Dipper, stealing the rainbow. Yeah, it's a designed intent to take that which we consider precious, things like our kids and our faith, and co-opt it because we don't have a say anymore. I got news. We got a say, and we're saying it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So I'm going to the text lines. You want to text in, by the way, I forgot to say it earlier. If you want to text in, the text lines are definitely open based upon the vast number of texts I got in the last little while. But the number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And yeah, if you text for the very first time, text the word right side to 833-68-RIGHT. And then it'll give you like an automated message back saying, welcome aboard, you right side ruffian, or something like that. And then text us your first name, where you're from. We'll get you built into the system along with all the hundreds of others that we have in our system. Let me see who I got in there right now. JT from Lacey Springs, all he says is Rainbow F-150. I know, bro. I saw it. Boomer showed it to me the other night.
Yeah.
Jeff from Indiana, keep flying that don't tread on me flag, Boomer. There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. Daryl from Huntsville says, which side of the aisle supports eliminating the merit system and that to part of it didn't come through well. Open borders, gender surgery, men and women sports, unlimited abortion, etc. must change the rules to win the platform. Daryl from Huntsville, you are correct. That would not be the right side, that would be the left side. Joe from Athens, second place is the first loser. There it is. I get it. Frank from Huntsville says, as a kid, we did not get participation trophies. And if we won a trophy, it meant something that the generation that has received participation trophies think that it's a norm to be handed stuff without earning it. I'm digging it. Yeah, what you got, man?
Yeah. Steven from Gunnersville.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Ford F-150 yeah. truck again, but he yeah. said, have you seen it? They should put a Bud Light logo on it.
Is anybody, by the way, I don't track NASCAR closely. I mean, I like going to Talladega and stuff, but does anybody drive for Bud Light? Is there a Bud Light car?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Oh.
Oh. Do they make it rainbow?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Steve from Gunnersville said something else, too. Target pulled some of the stuff off the shelves. Yeah, that's what I was saying, too.
Wow,
that they're having a freak out.
Well, they should have a freak out.
Ruffian from Huntsville says, shows a rainbow emoji. So this is a sign from God, nothing more, all caps. Hear you. Jump in if you want to, Boom.
All right. Frank from Madison.
Oh, yeah.
The University of Hawaii team was the Rainbow Warriors in the 1980s. Not anymore.
That is true. I'd forgotten about that. They used to be called the Rainbow Warriors, which it began to be. They were being mocked for it.
Yeah.
As the rainbow became the symbol of gay pride. I think it was hard for recruiting.
I remember when I was younger, I remember them being the rainbows and be like, oh, that's funny. They're Care Bears. I didn't think of anything else. It was just, they're just soft. I mean, softies.
I mean, you can go play for a team that says something like Roll Tide or War Eagle, or you can play for the Care Bears. That's just, it's not going to work. It's going to hurt you. Jason from Meridianville. Oh, this is something. Mm. Talking about Target. He said he was talking with the manager at a Target in Huntsville. I said that he was telling me, this is the manager telling him, about, in his words, a freaking coloring book they had to pull off the shelves that had basically had man-on-man and woman-on-woman pictures for kids to have to color.
Wow.
You know, you and I were talking off the air, too, Boom. It's obvious that they are pushing their limits now. The left is pushing its limits. They used to have, some of these things used to run as subculture. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, get as much as you can, and they throw out there, and they're willing to accept a little less because it's still more than what they had. And what they're doing is they're you called it the frog in the boiling pot.
Yeah, absolutely. I really believe that they're pushing so much on us that at the bottom level that people are just starting to be like, oh, well, this is okay, because they're really trying to push this on us.
Yeah, which
they're,
is
they're just yeah. you know starting to be like, oh, that's fine.
Which means we're changing our standards if we're
exactly.
not careful.
Exactly.
Even though we think we won by getting them to move the Target displays to the back of the store, they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus from Huntsville. From a group that says men can have babies and women can father children, I don't know why we were surprised to find out that their Satanists don't believe in Satan. Great point.
Wow.
Great point. What else? Trina from Melkbrant. My daughter and I were at the Walmart the other day. She wanted Rice Krispie treats. She saw they had a rainbow on them, and I said, nope, it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep. What else we got?
My gosh. Let's see here. They just keep coming in. So I know. TL from Huntsville.
Yeah.
You got it right. John 10:10.
Yeah,
not the good half. That's what they said.
That's right. Thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he came that we may have life and life mm-hmm. abundantly. Hans from Biloxi. He sent us a picture. Oh my gosh! Even Barefoot Wine, he says, Barefoot Wine has their rainbow labels on. It's everywhere right now. Juan from Newmarket, Target corporate doesn't care. He says even if they pull the displays down, they're going to continue to funnel millions to the LGBTQ groups. Woke America hates you, and the sad thing is, he says, Christian conservatives will still be shopping at Target this weekend. If Alabama is such a red Bible Belt state, woke companies shouldn't have enough customers to stay open. So wake up, Alabama. Stop supporting companies that hate you. Hmm. All right. Juan from Newmarket.
There you go. Teresa from Town Creek.
All right.
Go woke, go broke.
I'm saying. Tony from Piedmont. He says, one big nuke by the 7th Fleet to have something back on station. I don't know what that means, but okay. I don't know what this means. John from Huntsville came in. He says, Boomer, I got to tell you this, but Rainbow Baseball is coming to a stadium near you. What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Sponsored by Skittles and Lucky Charms. He says, I can hear Phil now. How many rainbows did your kid steal in that? John, what are you doing, man? I think John's just making crap up now.
Probably is.
Yeah, he probably is. Roger from Ardmore. NASCAR has the Busch Light. Harvick drives it. Okay. But do we have a Bud Light? JT from Lacey Springs. Pabst Beer has athletes on the can. Local Walmart has zero in stock. That's because they're buying it out. Got a brand new texter, Jody from Nottisoga. We're glad you're with us, Jody from Nottisoga. Glad you're in there. Jeremy from Huntsville. LGBTQ blah, 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 blah. Adopted the unicorn is some official... It's an official animal. My family crest had a unicorn on it for 5 centuries, and now I'm pissed. Trainer from Elkmont, give an inch, they take a mile. Yes, ma'am. Ruffian from Huntsville. NASCAR was ending its $88 million sponsorship deal with Bud Light in the wake of the Mulvaney controversy. Nice. And Crimson Mask in Madison is... Okay, listen, we got to go to break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. I got more of this. Stealing the rainbow? Only if we let them. We'll be right back. right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios with the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two, dipper number one, stealing the rainbow is what I'm calling it. Got a story here off National Review. This came out yesterday. A school counselor in a small Indiana town called Pendleton. I mean, you think small town America is not dealing with some of this stuff. Yes, you are. Yes, absolutely you are. School counselor fired for objecting to secretive gender transition policy sues the school district. So here's the bottom line. Her name is Kathy McCord. She's got like 37 years in teaching and in counseling in public schools in Indiana, mostly I think all in Pendleton. McCord learned that an email that she had sent earlier in the year was circulating in the community, it says. In an email, it was sent to a group of teachers explained that a female student wanted to change her name, be referred to as he, him, but said the family is not supportive of this decision and went on to say, you know, we need to stand with the family, I guess. But the bottom line is the district had put a new gender policy in place. Small town, Pendleton, Indiana, which in some cases hid in-school transgender social transitions from parents. But the school district forced McCord to comply with the policy and keep it a secret from the Republican-leaning community, is what the article says. She went on to explain the policy and her stance on it to a reporter, and because of that, she was fired. Well, last week she filed suit. So here's the end result. It talked about in this that several cases had emerged in which parents are having to sue school districts because they're being kept in the dark about their kids' mental health. They're being kept in the dark about, you know, gender dysphoria. We're seeing stories around the nation like where, you know, a mother in Maine had to sue her school district after a school counselor secretly gave her 13-year-old daughter a chest binder to help her look like a boy while she was at school without telling the parents. McCord's lawsuit, in this case, in Indiana, approaches the issue from the perspective of a school district employee who's forced to, by policy, hide information from parents, which goes against her own Christian beliefs. And she went on to say, and I think this is true, says, while McCord has been a counselor for over two decades, she said the concept of students changing their names and pronouns and gender identifications is a very recent thing in their conservative community. She would say, I'd say probably 4 or 5 years ago, I can't even think of a student that had declared themselves to be transgender. It started with a few, and then definitely in the last couple of years, it's much more. Well, that's what we're seeing right now, is that everything is being ramped up. Well, how about this? Story on AL.com. Holding it up right now to the camera. This came out 2 days ago. A planned weekend event at a Birmingham library focused on teaching children about sexual consent had to be canceled. Canceled. Pray tell, why would that be? Well, there were threats, they say. The Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health had planned a Consent for Kids Fair this past Saturday at the Springville Road Public Library in Birmingham. 2 days before the event, the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health and the library staff received emails asking for the event to be canceled, claiming that it was, quote, inappropriate for children and adults. Birmingham police said they've not been made aware of any threats in connection, although the staff went on to say they received harassing phone calls and threats. Okay, no proof of it, but they say they had them. Maybe they did. Well, the activities they had planned included a story hour featuring children's books like Will the Ladybug Hug? Can I Give You a Squish? Don't Hug Doug. He doesn't like it. And then on top of that, you had Pin the Ovary on the Uterus game and a gender creative fashion show in which children can try on different clothes to find their own self-expression. I'm just telling you, folks, this is right here that the event was canceled. But I want to point out something before I go to the phones, is that Scott Harris, our state health officer, was on the board until very recently of the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health. He was. Well, what's that just about sex ed, Phil? That's all it is. That's all it is. Oh, really? Well, I went to their website, and I have in my hot little hands a copy of the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health policy on issues related to transgender and gender nonconforming youth health. Things like, they are opposed and shall disavow all policies that would prevent transgender and gender nonconforming adolescents from receiving gender-affirming support, including but not limited to hormone replacement therapies, mental health therapies, and pubertal blockers. They would oppose legislation and policies that prevent healthcare professionals from providing this care, which is not founded, they say, upon scientific evidence. They also denounce any policy that would require teachers to tell parents if their child disclosed to them that they are gender nonconforming. These policies would force them to come out to their families, potentially exposing them to harmful and dangerous home life situations. Really? So they know better. It's also, they say, essential that transgender and gender nonconforming students have safe spaces and confidential and free discrimination with trusted adults in their lives that are outside the home. Really? This is the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health that your state health officer served on the board, who was trying to put together an event this past weekend that got canceled because people didn't want it in their community. And I'm telling you, that campaign right there is everything that we say we don't want in our communities. I got a caller on the line. I apologize. I just got on a rant there. But is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing well, and whoop, whoop, roughing, what day is it?
That would be hump day, man.
All right. Well, serious before satire, the serious part is I do not mind seeing a rainbow flag, even now, as long as it's got a picture of Noah and the Ark.
Yeah, nice. Well put. So, that's the original rainbow, right?
Yep, and then the satire part is when they were launching the Ark, what if the two unicorns were male, one identified as female? It's no wonder we're out of unicorns.
I'm glad you hung on the line for that one. I see you, buddy. I'm glad he hung on the line for that one. I do have, by the way, I have a meme on my phone. Speaking of the Ark, I got to go to this thing. It's a picture of a monkey. You seen it, Boomer? Picture of a monkey holding a pistol, and it says, when it's time to fight, you fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. Gotta hold it up. Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, back on the dipper here. We're going to finish this segment up. You got any number of things that are just happening around the nation, but don't think they're not happening in Alabama. In fact, the thing I just told you a minute ago that was canceled in Birmingham at the public library, well, the other one that was not canceled, story on 1819 News came out yesterday. Family-friendly Birmingham drag show includes children collecting tips for the performers. It says Saturday evening, the Birmingham Festival Theater put on a so-called family-friendly drag show in which performers accepted tips from attendees, many of whom were children. In videos obtained by Alabama Today, snippets of several performances can be seen, including young children picking up dollar bills that were thrown on the stage. First of all, let me just point out, throwing those dollar bills on the stage is the behavior of a strip club. Don't try and say it's not. Throwing dollar bills on the stage to someone prancing around in provocative outfits is strip club behavior. Don't try and pretend that what you're... Oh, it's family friendly. It was just kids throwing dollar bills. No, you're training them how to act at a strip club is what you're doing. Not only that, but it's men dressed as women, by the way, exaggerating the features of women. It says last week, 1819 News reported on several of the performers who were slated to attend and showed pictures of their particular type of artistic expression. In one video, a performer can be seen wearing a skin-tight bodysuit painted with abdominal muscles wearing deer antlers. One performer quipped that the young children picking up dollar bills were called drag kittens. They have a special name. This is a pedophilia thing. They call them drag kittens. Drag kittens or stage kittens or just kittens sometimes are nomenclatures used for young proteges or in-training individuals that assist in the drag and burlesque world. Kittens typically help performers with props, collect their tips, and other activities. A similar event was scheduled for Fairhope, but promoters there added an age requirement once there was community backlash. Speaking of which, in Fairhope, community centers, concerned citizens, another story on 1819 News, concerned citizens showed up at the Fairhope City Council asking about the Color Fairhope with Pride 2023 event that was planned and asking the City Council to please make sure this is going to be appropriate, to not allow it to become something that is R-rated, to make sure that standards are enforced. And if they're going to say it's gay pride, that's one thing, but don't let it become something that people can't walk by and feel like they're being offended by seeing. And they're doing is asking for their town. They're the beautiful town of Fairhope. I love that place, Fairhope, Alabama. It's all going to be down by the Fairhope Pier weekend after next. And they're concerned that what's about to happen is we're going to have an X-rated opportunity that's going to offend kids and drive down tourism. Folks, I'm just telling you, they're trying to steal the rainbow. And you need to check out this Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health. What a benign name that is. And yet they're literally advocating. And your state health officer was on their board? For the love. They are advocating for things like making sure that other adults are in your life from outside of the home who you can confide in. And oh, by the way, making sure that, you know, LGBTQ+ nonconforming students don't have to tell their parents, and it's teachers don't have to tell the parents. That's right here in Alabama with a state official who was on their board until most recently. I'm telling you, it's messed up. All right, folks, that's enough of that one. We got to move on. We're gonna switch gears. Coming right back, we're going to talk about some things that have happened just in the last 24 hours. School choice. Are we ever going to see true choice in Alabama? Well, not this year. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going to the next part of the Triple Dipper, limited choice, coming up here in a few minutes after the 3:30 break. We'll come right back with a phone call from Becky Gerritsen, the executive director of the Alabama Eagle Forum. They are a conservative advocacy group that has been in the trenches for years advocating for good public policy in conservative fashion. And one of which is school choice. So what we're talking about right now, number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it limited choice, because that's what you got. You got limited choice. So just to refresh your memory, it wasn't so long ago that the AEA, the teachers union, held complete and total sway in the State House. And then in 2010, when the class that I was elected in came in, we took a supermajority back from the Democrats for the first time in the history of the state of Alabama. And literally had the opportunity to make massive changes. Well, one of those was we were able to emasculate the teachers union, and I was proud of it. Now, when I say that, don't think that's an anti-teacher thing. The teachers union is a corrupt organization, in my opinion. I very sparingly use words like evil, but the teachers union of old got to the point it was evil. I mean, I can remember watching Paul Hubbard, who was the head of the teachers union, sitting in the gallery where he had his seat that was center mass, and he looked down on the House gallery, and he would sit there like he was presiding. And I saw it happen at least once, because he was still there before he retired, and then he died shortly thereafter. Not long after he lost power, he died. That was so weird. But anyway, Paul Hubbard would sit up there in the gallery, and when the time came to vote on a bill, the House members would stop and look in the gallery, and he would give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and that's how they voted. It was gross. Well, we broke that. We broke that in 2010, and we had a chance to make true changes. And I'm gonna tell you right now, the whole first 4 years that I was down there, it was a dogfight. It was a run-and-gun battle. I mean, every day was an assault. I had the honor of having my picture caricatured twice in the AEA Journal. I actually cut one out, laminated it, and put it on the wall of my Senate office. It's great. But all that to say, the fight was on. And one of the things we were tired of having happen was the idea that school was untouchable, that we should be content with being last in the nation. Well, we're not content. And by the way, we were doing better. And we passed in 2013 the very first ever piece of school choice legislation the state of Alabama had ever seen. It's called the Alabama Accountability Act. In my opinion, it was good. It wasn't much, but it was a major thing in that it was the first time anybody could remember that an education-based, by the way, the AEA didn't always care about education. They got into everything. They were into the gambling bills. They were into the business bills. They were into the, you know, things that didn't have anything to do with education because it was about power. But especially on education, they stood in the way of anything that in some way corrupted their power or changed their power. So we passed the Alabama Accountability Act. What did it do? It set up a scholarship fund opportunity where you could get a tax credit if you gave to a scholarship-granting organization, and that SGO could give scholarships to kids if those kids were in what was designated as a failing school to go somewhere else. Thousands of kids in Alabama have participated. It's been a life changer for some. We've had them come to the state house and give their testimonies in a sense, talking about how it made a huge difference for them to go from a failing school to one that's non-failing. That was in 2013. We were able to expand it a few times, give it we call it raising the cap. I think we went from $20 million in tax credits that could be given out in a year to $30 million, I believe, maybe $40. I don't recall how far it's gone up to now. Was it good? Yes. It's very limited. And you had to be in the failing school. And then we expanded that to say that once all the scholarships were given to those in failing schools who wanted them, then we could open the door for those who had other reasons, like you were being bullied or it was a bad environment or something. All that to say, it was still limited in scope. But it was something. And the teachers' union hated it. Well, we passed it anyway. And it was one of my favorite nights in my 8 years in the Senate as we went to the floor with something that teachers union had not approved. They didn't see it coming. We blindsided them with a bill that we were able to get in by substitute, move it forward in the process. And folks, I'm one of the few who knew for several weeks that it was coming. And I enjoyed that night more than any I think I've had because we set some kids free. Well, since that time, the legislature has gone through almost a complete sea change. Majority of the crowd that I was elected with are no longer down there. Most of us, like 30% of us all left at the same time in 2018. Another, big batch left in the next round after that. And most of the group down there right now has never had to have those fights. And 40% of the legislature now takes money from the AEA, the teachers union, as part of their campaign funds. And it seems to have caused a shift. Because now the trend towards fixing education has begun to slow roll. And I've talked about it on the show multiple times. But the truth of the matter is this. We have got to do something because we're in last place in this nation. Last freaking place. The state that has places like Huntsville, where we put men on the moon, is in last place. How can that be? Well, it's not because of money. Because we spend money like nobody's business on education, we just get crappy results. Time to do something different. Well, we're going to talk about the fact that they avoided doing too much different. We got school choice light, some call it. Coming up next, Becky Gerritsen, Eagle Forum. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, we're in number two at today's Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Limited Choice. Because we got a little bit of school choice. They dabbled it. They took their toe in the water and then tried to claim they did some school choice. I would say this was a very tepid opportunity compared to what they could have done. Eight states around the nation this year have put new school choice legislation on the books. Arkansas, Iowa, Utah, and Florida went big. And they did ESAs, or education savings accounts, which is what we were hoping to see happen with what we call the Price Act. We've talked about it on the show before. Well, somebody who's been in the trenches for a while on conservative public policy is my friend Becky Gerritsen. Becky is the executive director of the Eagle Forum of Alabama, and she's down in Montgomery right now and is going to give us an update on where we stand and what happened yesterday. Becky Gerritsen, how are you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there. We're winding down the legislative session, and it has been a very busy one, but it always gets very frustrating here at the end.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you've been in the trenches for a while, and you and I have even seen each other, you know, at some of these opportunities to speak down in Montgomery, and it does get frustrating, especially when you know what is good public policy, and it's really not that hard in a supermajority state, but they make it hard.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we had this wonderful bill, the Parental Rights and Children's Education Educational Savings Account Bill, which was universal. It was not discriminatory on anyone, that everyone in the entire state, students would be able to apply for this. And the money follows the student. It was $6,900 you could use for a year, whether you wanted to use it on tuition or tutors or homeschooling or, you know, however you wanted to do your own education. It was up to your family to decide. A beautiful bill. It's been out since March. We've been debating it. It's had three public hearings. We had the votes in the Senate to get it out. Today is the last day for new bills to pass through a chamber, and it is not on the calendar for today.
Not on the calendar at all.
Not on the calendar at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be a miracle where he could come out. They could come out with a new special order calendar. I don't see that happening.
Well, and I've seen them drop a second calendar after the first one's complete. Is it a full calendar? Is it got a lot on it right now? Do you know?
I have not seen it. Yesterday, they had 18 bills on the calendar.
All right.
And they got one done. It took 6 hours to get one passed. And so I'm assuming all 17 are on the list again for today. And I don't know how many of those are filibuster proof that they can just whip through real quick. I'm going to keep praying that it could still happen today.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing that chances are not very good.
Well,
but I do want to. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say this is a leadership issue. I mean, this is so Senator Stutz and the co-sponsors he had, and the energy that's been generated, and the nationwide push for this. It's not like they don't have the wind at their back. I mean, they do. But leadership has chosen to cave to the teachers' union's, you know, hyped up fears about crushing public education. And I'm sick of seeing the AEA get sway over people that don't even have to listen to the AEA if they don't want to, because they've got the opportunity to move forward on important pieces of legislation, and they're just choosing not to.
Right. Well, and that's the frustrating thing is we had more than enough votes to get it passed. It would have been really great for the Senate to pass it, to show, you know, and I understand maybe it would get stuck in the House this late in the game. I get that. But they had the votes. It was there on a silver platter for them. This wonderful bill, we think it's the best in the nation, most freeing. It is amazing for families. And they had it right there. They had the votes to do it. They could have whipped this sucker out so fast, and they have decided to wait. And they all say that they're for school choice, and then they do something like this. I mean,
well, not only that, but it pulls out. It polls out extremely high. I mean, this is not something that should be scary. If all you're worried about is politics and whether you can get reelected, you live in a freaking red state where school choice polls extremely high.
Right, and they ran on that. So many of them ran on school choice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, so, all right. Well, all right. So yesterday, 6 hours or whatever it was on one bill. And by the way, I've been there for that before. That can be you know, just exhausting almost. But
it was rough.
But that was what some are now calling school choice light. That was an opportunity to basically just add a little bit to the current Accountability Act, which is like throwing a bone at the school choice advocates, in my opinion. But your thoughts?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and you know, the Accountability Act is for children in failing schools or low-income children to be able to get money to go to a brick-and-mortar private school. You know, that's great. We want all types of school choice. And so there are about, I want to say it's around 3,500 or 3,700 children over the last 10 years that are in this program.
Yeah.
It's a tax credit scholarship kind of program. Well, I think the increase, they wanted to increase that cap so more people could donate to this. And I think it might have served another 1,000 or 1,500 students. Don't quote me on that, but it's not a large amount.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, when you think there's 730 million students in the state, and that's what we're going to open it up. Had you done the price bill, we would have had over 7,000 students be able to be enrolled the first year. But now, no, we're just going to do this little thing where we'll let 1,500 more students, and only students from failing schools or low income. So if your child's being bullied and you're not at a failing school and you're not low income, I'm sorry, you don't get anything. You know, that it's just, we need to go universal, and we need to do it next year. And we're starting early. This bill will be refiled again and have BSB 1, hopefully. Yeah. And we will have everybody on board and get this thing out really fast. Our team has worked so hard. I'm very proud of the amazing work. I mean, people, even from out of state, are like, I can't believe how far you guys have made it. The big legislation like this, it's a miracle if you do get it done in 1 year. We wanted that miracle. We were shooting for the miracle, but we're going to try to get it done in two.
Well, I do take heart at that, and I agree. I mean, some of the best legislation I've seen took 2, 3, and 4 years to pass.
Yeah.
And
the transgender bill took 3 years.
It did,
and
that was a great bill.
We fought hard on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also look at some of the things too that you're able to hold off for a few years, like that cannabis bill that had monopolies built into it and all kinds of craziness. We actually got it held off for a few years. So things can go good and bad sometimes with delay.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it too. This bill that they passed yesterday, though, Becky, one of the things that just irks the stew out of me is they also even changed the name of failing school to priority school. If it's a failing school, it's just failing. But they're so scared of offending someone in the education arena. Guess what? If you're in the worst school, you're just in the worst school, period.
Right.
But we're going to call it a priority school.
Someone on the floor, and it may have been Senator Stutz, said, okay, so everybody gets a trophy now.
There you go.
You know, that you just don't want to say what it really is. You just want to make everybody feel good about it. And we just need to get past that. We need to do something that's really going to move the needle and call it what it is. They're failing and they need help. And the Price Act would have helped them.
Yeah.
Studies show that those public schools would have gotten better had they had that competition element in there.
Well, so, I mean, the things that could happen today is they could run a calendar and then by agreement pull out a second special order calendar if they wanted to. So they're actually going in the chamber today, though, even though it's Wednesday. Is that right?
Yes, at 4:00.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, who knows?
So I guess we have till midnight. Technically, you know, if they go that long, we'd have till midnight. So keep praying. I'm going to keep praying.
Yeah.
You never know. We've got the votes. So it's stupid for them to not do it.
Well,
if they wanted to make the Senate look good and show everybody that they're serious about school choice, they would have done this.
Well, we shall see. But right now, it's obvious to me that I said it earlier before you came on the air that, the majority of the members of the House and Senate that we have right now, they were not there. They do not recall what it's like to fight the teachers union. And so it's kind of like, you know, those of us that were there when budgets were in deficits, we remember how hard it was. And those who've never been in deficits for appropriations, they're like, what's the big deal? We got cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, well, all right. Listen, we're down to the wire in the legislative session here. We got a couple minutes before we wrap up. What else you see and what's happening with grocery tax and what else do you see down there right now?
Well, I was not watching that one. I think it did pass today, and I'm not sure how it changed. The other things I was really frustrated about, and I think I may have mentioned these to you this morning, that we have some great legislation that has not passed. banning CRT. We have this wonderful bill to protect children from pornography on cell phones. We don't know if that one's going to make it through. There's a whole list of bills that are good, common sense, easy to pass. Why are they not doing it? Instead, we're passing state cookie is the yellow hammer cookie. You know, it's just really frustrating.
Oh, my gosh.
No offense to the sponsor of that bill, but
we've got
really big, important things to do.
I'll mock it. I mocked it last week when we found out about it. That's the Lane cake drove me crazy when I was there, and now they got the yellow hammer cookie, and that's more important than school choice.
I agree.
Well, all right.
Keep up the great work, Phil. Keeping everybody informed on what's going on. And I was out and about yesterday and had my, I was after the session and I had my Right Side Radio t-shirt on.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that very much.
Bet.
Well, you guys have been doing it in the trenches for the longest time. So Becky Gerritsen, Eagle Forum, if folks want to find out more about you, how do they find you?
Eagleforum.org. And just go to our homepage, scroll down. You can see our weekly updates there. You can jump on an email to us, get on our email list, and we send out updates every week during the legislative session on the bills we're watching. It's a great way to keep up with how things are going, and we'd love to have your support. We are working like dogs down here for the people, and it's just we have volunteers like crazy roaming the halls and lobbying all these different bills. I'm so proud of them. It's been amazing.
All right. Thanks, Beck. I appreciate it. Keep us posted. If something changes, you text me, and I'll say it on the air, okay?
I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. Becky Gerritsen, Alabama's Eagle Forum. And by the way, for those of y'all that don't know, as we're going to break, I'll just tell you. So you remember Lois Lerner and the weaponization of the IRS under the Obama administration? Well, the person who became famous for going up and testifying against all that was my friend Becky Gerritsen, who you just heard on the air. She was the head of the Wetumpka Tea Party, and they got bias against them when they applied for their 501c3. And so, yeah, Becky went and testified before Congress, and she is now in charge of the Eagle Forum here in Alabama, doing good stuff. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on this limited choice when we get back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up top of the hour, by the way, stay tuned for the fact that we're going to have the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. They come in every Wednesday at 4. We ping each other with questions, go back and forth, see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other when it's done. So yeah, Grand Council coming up right after the 4 o'clock break. And by the way, you heard there in the break we just had, and every other break for that matter, you heard the ads at play. Let me just tell you, Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We are not owned by the stations that we're on. If you're hearing us on live radio right now, just understand that we are a separate business. We're a syndicated show. We have our own studio. We send our programmed stuff out to those stations, and we have to support ourselves like any business does. And one of the ways we do that is by selling advertising space. If you want to advertise on this show and show the world that your business is a Right Side Ruffian, well, then we'd love to have you. We'd love to talk to you. And you can't call the stations and do it. You got to call us. So the way it works is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. So rightsideradio.org, go to the place where it says advertising and contact, and you will find a means there where you can send us a message. You send us that message, man, we'll be in touch like ASAP. So, yeah, just float a message out there to us. We'll respond with our sales staff right away. Love to get you in the hopper. Advertising on Right Side Radio. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper Limited Choice. Just going to wrap this up here for a few minutes. So thehill.com has a piece. The headline, by the way, this came out 2 days ago. School choice won big in states this year. Is the movement about to hit a wall? It's a fair question. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think a lot of parents got their eyes opened by what happened during COVID, and they began to recognize, wait a minute, there's things. And then what's happened now, too, is laws are being changed in various states. I mentioned a minute ago on the phone with Becky Gerritsen, Arkansas, Iowa, Utah, and Florida have all passed education savings accounts for K-12 students. Well, that's what we were trying to pass in Alabama. We have a Republican supermajority, but they didn't want to do it. And it appears, unless something changes today, they don't even want to put it on the calendar for an up or down vote. That I always hated that. I get it. There's bad legislation. Sometimes what we do down there is block bad legislation. But the truth is, this is good legislation. It polls well. It's a Republican conservative movement-based legislation, and it's working in other places. And everywhere where they have it, guess what? Public education has not crashed. In fact, if anything, public education has picked up because it puts the free market principles of competition in play. And a school that is not doing well and loses a few students realizes it's got its up its game. And the schools that don't lose anybody are the ones who are already up in their game and nobody wants to leave. Well, they point out here that Texas is having a tooth and nail fight right now to pass something like this. Georgia failed. Their session's over, and they did not get it passed. Alabama, looks like they're going to be in that category. We got a little bitty, teeny bit of school choice light passed with the advancements on the Accountability Act, and that was it. All they did was take something that was already in place and just, you know, make it a tad bit bigger, like a tad. Like, I'm not even sure how to do tad on the radio and convey to you how taddish that is. But it was basically, it was a coward's way of doing school choice, in my opinion. Any one of them, you know, wants to come on the show and talk about it, they can. I'll say the same thing. This was an opportunity to go big and you went small. Let's be honest. You did. You had the opportunity to go big and you went small. Over in Georgia, though, even though that bill failed, one Georgia Democrat is calling out her own party. In this article from Fox, dated 3 days ago, calls out her own party for opposing school choice and prioritizing migrants over inner-city kids. This Georgia state rep, her name is Misha Maynor. She's been in the House of Representatives over there since 2021. And she went on a Twitter video and accused other Democrats, she is a Democrat, of turning against her for being a school choice advocate. She said, "I support school choice, parents' rights, and opportunities for children to thrive, especially those that are marginalized and tend to fail in school." Says the Democrats at the Georgia State Capitol took a hard position and demanded that every Democrat vote against children and for the teachers' union. She said, "I voted yes for parents, yes for children, not for failing schools." And now she says, "I have colleagues giving away $1,000 checks to anybody that'll run against me." Well, I'm not apologizing, she said. And that's the way it should be. Meanwhile, you got hyperbole like you would not believe. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, a Democrat, is out there declaring a state of emergency. Believe it or not, this is what you do when you have a hurricane hit your coast, all right? A state of emergency just this week in an attempt to stop a school choice bill from passing. A state of emergency because a Republican legislature is trying to pass school choice legislation in North Carolina. He's going to come out and say, "I declare a state of emergency for public education. The Republicans are trying to choke out the life of public education." What, he's in the sack right now. I'm telling you, he's in the sack with the teachers union. It's unbelievable. Folks, we cannot continue to be last in the nation and expect that to be okay. It's not. It's not. We got great. How much has the state got going for it? Look at the economy. Look at the business climate. Look at the level of productivity with auto manufacturing and the space command and the military and the shipbuilding and the agribusiness and timber industry. And I mean, this is Alabama, y'all. We got a lot going on, and our education sucks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to come right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We'll be right back.
Live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Yeah, and we cover down on them like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is that time. It is that time on Wednesday, one of my favorite times every single week, when two of my brethren in talk radio jump on there with me. We do a thing called the Grand Council, and we ping each other with questions. We don't even know what the questions are in advance. And we just see what kind of stuff happens. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. We always love each other when it's done, and I'm going to call the roll. So let me just go ahead and, I mean, right now I happen to know he's remote. So Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and executive editor for 1819 News. Is you here, my brother?
I am present.
You are indeed. And you're in Montgomery right now, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing the show like every week from the same spot in the State House. So, yeah, I'm right here right now.
Well, in the thick of stuff. All right, well, you're here. Let me check on the other side. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you on with us?
I am. Whoop!
Whoop! All right, stand at ease. Boomer, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ba-da-da-da. All right, fellas, y'all know the rules. I'm going to go ahead and let Jeff Poor go first this time. Jeffro, what you got?
This might be a little premature of a question, but I think we kind of know where this legislative session is heading. Let's go ahead and start talking about grading it and, I you know, what got done, what is likely to get done. I think you still got possibly a grocery tax thing that's going to probably get done probably tomorrow and a CRT ban, but it feels very underwhelming to me, but I'm curious to what you guys think.
Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to one of the members of the Senate today, and he said this has been like just a bear of a session. Like there's been so much hard work to do, and I'm thinking, yeah, but we're really not seeing it right now. In terms of the kind of landmark bills you look for when you say you had a hard session, but now I would give this as a this is a tepid. They've passed, but you know it also still depends on what happens. If they don't pass that grocery tax and that CRT bill, then I'm calling it a fail. They got tepid on school choice. They actually shut down major school choice and did the whole price act getting punked is what I called it. And, you know, and they've also spent a lot of money on government, And so far we don't have true tax relief. And so I'm curious to see how it ends up. So right now, jury's out, but I don't think that they're much more than tepid, in my opinion. Dale Jackson, what do you think?
Yeah, not great. I think you guys have hit on it, or you hit on it pretty well. All the stuff they didn't do, all the stuff they said they were going to do, all the stuff they're going to say they ran out of time to do, it just doesn't really strike me as something that they really seem to be interested in fulfilling all their promises leading in. And I know it's hard and, you know, got to watch the calendar and all this other stuff. But, you know, you guys knew what the people wanted from you. They wanted a tax cut on food in some way, shape, or form. And they wanted a sign towards the end. They wanted some decent school choice. You're not getting any of that. They wanted CRT. They wanted ESG. They wanted those things. You know, call them cultural issues. Call them social issues. Call them whatever you want. It's what your voters care about. And, you know, it's nice that you had record budgets and it's nice that you were able to pass a bunch of incentives. But the trade-off is you give the people some red meat so you can serve your actual masters. And I don't think they gave the red meat.
Yeah. Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with y'all. Probably very, very average session. I do think the crowning achievement will, of course, be the grocery tax. I think it gets done. And this may preempt a future question, but you look at the MVPs of this session, and it looks like the lieutenant governor and the House minority leader are kind of been the most impressive duo. One doesn't vote, the other's in a super minority. So I mean, it's a very peculiar situation.
What a great point. The two people who have the least ability to impact actual votage have maybe prevailed in terms of their impact. That's a great point. I tell you what else, though, before we leave your question, Jeff, I think part of the problem with this and the reason why it's so tepid is there was no agenda. They did not come in saying, here is what we're going to accomplish, and leadership putting their name to it. They didn't do that. They just came in and go, well, time to start the session. And they just let it happen where it happens, and that's what it feels like to me. All right, Dale Jackson, next question. What you got?
What in the world is going on with the governor and the lieutenant governor? You know, you call the MVP of the session and all that. Why is she saying anything about widening 65 when she's said nothing publicly this entire session? I'm sure she's down there shaking hands and all that nonsense in the legislature and talking to people and working behind the scenes. But why the outspokenness against Ainsworth wanting to expand the roads?
I'll let you go first, Jeff.
Well, I mean, not keenly familiar with her comments, but my guess is she sees it as an attack on this West Alabama. You guys got to look into this because it's so weird. They're building this big four-lane highway, and it's supposed to provide four-lane access between Tuscaloosa and Mobile, but also serve as an alternative route to 65. So you could go that way to Mobile instead of going through Montgomery. So there's a lot of people in this building that are very, very anti that route, but they're already building it underway. So all I can figure is she sees Ainsworth getting out in front of her big crowning achievement project, her legacy project, that she wants it done before she's out of office. And she's not really big on him trying to talk about transportation projects.
Well, I look at it, too, with all the controversy regarding that bridge project down in Baldwin County. And you know, she's taken some heat on that and also watching the way, you know, the prison construction plan has gone. She's got some landmark construction projects that are not going the way they're supposed to go. And the last thing she wants is something kicked off during her tenure that cannot possibly be concluded and then looks like it's going to be, you know, inflated over time. Your own question, Dale, what do you think? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, let me add one more thing to that, too, is not saying that Cooper's totally blameless here. I think he's taken the fall for a lot of just bad policy within the governor's office. He's on his way out. He can be the fall guy. But he's not the only one to blame with all of the stuff that you just brought up, Senator.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. He's not the only one to blame. He technically works at the pleasure of the governor, if I'm not mistaken. And but this is a part of her staying silent at the wrong times, and she's doing that way too much. She's not getting out there and being forceful about anything. Dale, it's your question. What are you thinking?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand it because she's being quiet on everything, and this kind of she was by the words she spoke, and maybe it was the way it was written. It seems like she was pretty outspoken about what a dumb idea it was to pretend that everyone didn't want to widen all those roads, but it just wasn't a priority right now. And I just thought it was kind of odd given how Kay Ivey has kind of acted as like a specter over the session instead of an active participant.
Well, but, you know, I look at it, though, and being an active participant also requires being visible. And her visibility has been very minimal. It's very controlled. She gets out there when it's, you know, a very controlled opportunity to cut a ribbon. But we don't really see her doing press conferences. She doesn't go out to meet the press or greet them on an issue. She never comes
or advocate to the people to call their legislators. I mean, good Lord, you've got the governor of North Carolina saying it's a state of emergency because they might pass a school choice bill, you know, and freaking out. And our governor is like, God, someone bring me some pudding.
All right, let me jump over to something else real quick, and we're going to run out of time if we're not careful. But so State Health Officer Scott Harris was most recently kind of quietly removed himself from the Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health. That same group has been trying to hold gender expression opportunities at public libraries and everything else. And then Scott Harris has been taking fire for, you know, his positions on any number of things, like coming out and saying how appalled he is at the idea of protective legislation on, you know, vulnerable children being put in place where they're, you know, got surgeries and therapies for transgenderism. Is Scott Harris going to stay in office? Is he going to resign? Are we going to see him apologize for his behavior? I mean, do we see any recalcitrance being, you know, changed over to, you know, hat in hand, I'm sorry? What do you think? Dale, you first.
The six doctors that run the state apparently have decided he's their guy. He's tried to backtrack on all of this. 1819's been like, oh, really? How about this? Oh, really? How about this? And I think that it's been pretty hard to kind of sell that message. He said what he said. He's been a part of what he is. And I'll tell you, you know, there's no reason. I'm sorry. This might not be political. Health isn't political. Bull crap. Okay, especially in a post-COVID world. It absolutely is. There's no reason why our health agency should be a far-left entity firing off tweets and making public statements out of step with the rest of the state. Sorry, it just shouldn't be. You don't see super conservative health officers in Massachusetts. So let's be real about this whole thing. He said some stuff that's outrageous. And look, if we can cancel Bud Light, we can cancel Dr. Scott Harris.
Jeff, about a minute. What you think?
Yeah, I think it's either he's got to go or they're going to fundamentally overhaul how that office is. I think this board, well, doesn't want to give up that power. So they're going to have to ask him to go or he just waits it out until the next session. But I think after what he said, I think he's toast, and this board is a little reluctant to give him a pass on that. So it's either he goes or the legislature is going to just overhaul everything and take this power away from Massa.
Yeah, which they should do.
Which they should anyway. Do. They should do anyway. You're exactly right. And I agree with both of you on this. I do think he needs to go. I mean, it's very few times that I would use my microphone to say that person just needs to go, but that person just needs to go. And it's time to also overhaul the system on how we get this person next, a successor in office. All right, that's round one, Grand Council. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. And little old me, y'all stay tuned. Coming right back with round number two. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. All right. Hey, listen, we're back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, and also with Yellowhammer News. And by the way, we had to switch up a little bit the way we got them on the air. They're both on the phone, so I'll be switching back and forth between phones or Boomer will. And so it might sound a little choppy. Y'all give us a break here. We're going to go first, round two. Jeff, next question. What do you got?
What does DeSantis have to accomplish in his announcement here in just a little bit to really catch up? I think he's way behind Donald Trump and make a race out of this today.
You know, I'll go first on that. I think a couple things. I think he has to be Trump without being Trump, without offending Trump and all of Trump's supporters. I think he has to prove that he's got everything it takes, but that he can get in there without having the polarization and the investigations and the looming legal battles and all of that. That's what he's got to do, I think. But he's got to do it in such a way that he doesn't imply that the guy who is truly top of the ticket is, in some way compromised. It's going to be a fine line. I guarantee you, he's been wordsmithing this with his team, and we'll wait and see. I think it's very interesting. He's doing it on Twitter with Elon Musk, and so there's the other. You know, Trump owns Truth Social, and he's a billionaire, and now he's going on with the other billionaire who owns Twitter. So anyway, there's that. Let me flip over to Dale real quick. Dale, what do you think, buddy?
He's got to throw fastballs at his head. I mean, at Trump's head. This is what he's got to do. He has to make clear distinctions in their differences. He has to make it clear that he is better, more electable, and tell everyone why. And he's got to look, this idea that he can't attack Trump because it'll make his base mad, you're never going to get those people. You are going to have to damage Trump in order to beat him. That's what there's no other way to gain 35 points.
So you're thinking that he has to go out there and immediately make the people mad who he's trying to win their votes.
No, I don't know if he makes bad. He's got to make him see it. And if he plays, I'm going to out nice Trump. He's gonna lose anyway. The only way to win is to hurt Trump.
Well, he doesn't have to be nice, but I think he has to walk that fine line of not getting out there and just ticking them all off, and then nobody likes him from the day one. But let me jump over to Jeff. It's his own Jeff. Your own question. What do you think, buddy?
Well, I kind of agree with Dale. I think he's gotta be careful here. When Trump ran in 16. He did it in a very likable, very, it was like kind of mocking way. And I think Trump in 2023 is a little angry. I don't think DeSantis needs to be angry. He could go on offense, but be very careful. You don't want to be unlikable. I know half the country is going to not like him anyway, and half of that half is just really not going to like him because they're Trump supporters. But I think it's a delicate balance here. But on the other hand, but I do think he needs a big day today, because if he doesn't get a bounce out of today, then there's probably no point in running.
I would agree with that. All right, about 2 minutes left. Dale Jackson, next question. What you got?
All right, the rebate. We assume the sales tax that get cut down to maybe 2 cents, maybe nothing. The rebate went down to $100, and now it's $210 or whatever. What's this going to end up being? Or are they looking at the calendar and going, man, if we just screw this thing around a little bit, we don't have to do any of this, and we can all go home and be like, I wanted to, but they wouldn't let me, golly.
I heard that the rebate is down to giving you a book of stamps. That's what I heard. So I don't know what they're going to do. But tax relief of any form right now is more than what we got on the plate. So I'm betting it's going to be $200. It's going to be a token thing. We're going to get half the grocery tax, and that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Jeff, real quick, what you think?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of House members. The governor really wants the rebate. I think they're going to leave it in, even if it's only $100.
Wow. That just feels so lame, though. I mean, that just feels so lame. All right, last question. I'll take it, and I'm going to ask for like a 10-second answer. Is Target having a Bud Light moment? Jeff, what do you think?
No, there's just not as many options to Target as there are, say, Bud Light.
That's fair. Dale, what do you think?
Yeah. If you Target kids, you're going to find yourself in a rough situation. You can drive past that Target, or as my wife does, drive past two Targets to get to the other Target. But now you can just go to the Walmart instead.
I am in complete agreement. I think that they truly are having a Bud Light moment, that they stepped in it more than they meant to, and somebody in that boardroom needs to lose their gig.
And can we mention how lame it is that they're like, oh, well, we're stopping this because our associates are under attack? It's the same thing they tried at the Birmingham Library. Oh, we're afraid of the threat. That is such a lame lie. It's just pathetic.
And what's funny in that Birmingham Library thing is the police said, yeah, we have no record of anybody making complaints. Yep. So, all right, fellas, appreciate you both. The Grand Council, Jeff Poor, 1819 News' executive editor, and he's also the host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. And then we got Dale Jackson, WVNN morning show guy, program director, and writes for Yellowhammer News. Appreciate both of you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Coming back with Triple Dipper number 3. They're dumbing us down. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean that. That's Alabama I'm talking about. Alabama the beautiful. I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, folks, ZLA Solutions, before I go any further, I got to just pause and tell you, they've been with us since the very beginning. ZLA Solutions, you know all that ground I just talked about that we cover on the show? They cover all of it, too. They are working for employer groups all over the northern half of the state and really and beyond. And I mean to say, they are doing an epic good job at coupling people with jobs. So, I mean, they do a lot of business end solutions. They can help you with logistics, with warehousing, with, you know, your quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter remains staffing. If you need people, they can find them for you. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. They can do all that stuff. They can find you the onesies and twosies you need with special niche skills that are hard to find, or they can just get you a whole shift of people to run your factory, whatever the case may be. I'm just telling you, they're good at what they do, man, and they love doing it. I know these folks personally. I was talking to one of them just a little while ago. They are good at what they do, and they love doing it, and their goal in life is, they like to say, they like to help you make your business better. So if you need folks, well, they got them. Just check them out. Here's their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And please do me the favor of telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Number three, Boomer, I'm going to make three dippers.
Three dipper day.
All right, we're going to do it. I mean, we got a caller in there from Becky Gerritsen. We had Grand Council, and we're still going to do three dippers. Number three on the triple dipper. If you heard my monologue earlier, I called it raising the bar. Like, you know, the whole idea that we should water down the standards to make things easier for people because we need equity and diversity. Well, which quarterback should be playing in the Super Bowl? Well, I take it back. If they make the Super Bowl, they all earned it anyway. But, you know, which quarterback do you want leading your professional team? The one who is, like, the best one they can find? Or the one who fit a demographic of some kind and they had to bring him in for diversity? It doesn't work that way, right? How long is that team going to stay in the competition? Same is true with, what kind of lawyer do you want? Do you want the one where, you know, they made the bar exam easier because they wanted to make sure they had a more diverse opportunity for people to enter the practice of law? Forget that. You know, if somebody's alleging criminal activity against you, do you want the lawyer who, you know, barely gets by and got handed his law degree? No. Same is true of your doctors. Same is true of your CPAs. Well, all those organizations and more, including the U.S. military, we're seeing right now a real push to lower the entrance standards. It's one thing to talk about participation trophies. It's quite another to talk about ollie ollie income free. Do you feel like being a lawyer? We can help you. Do you feel like being a doctor? Sure, we'll work that out. Alabama Supreme Court Justice Jay Mitchell, good guy. I know Justice Mitchell. I like him. He published an op-ed that came out in the Wall Street Journal just a couple days ago. This story's on 1819 News. By the way, all these resources, I'll say this, all these resources, when you hear me rattle the paper and we talk about the triple dipper, if you go to our website and you want to see these articles yourself, go to rightsideradio.org, and there's a tab there called Live Stream where you can see the show or pick up the audio if you need to. And right above the image of the studio where we're talking in studio, you'll see a button that says Resources. Just hit that button. It takes you to the entire triple dipper. All the articles are there. Go grab one if you want to read it yourself or send it to a friend or whatever. Post it to your social media, rightsideradio.org. So Alabama Supreme Court Justice Jay Mitchell published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this past week. He's very concerned, and so am I now that I'm aware of it, that the National Conference of Bar Examiners are looking at basically putting in an easier bar exam. It's called the next gen bar exam, scheduled for a debut in 2026. Wow. Which means that those who are first-year law students right now could be the first ones to take that test. Justice Mitchell says, this is our Alabama guy, Justice Mitchell, says this could negatively impact attorneys who, like, for instance, live in rural areas where the practice of law is typically surrounding things like family law, probate matters, because those things would not be focused on the bar exam. Really? So you're going to have people graduating who have not qualified or presented their qualifications in various niche areas of the law. When I took the bar exam 20 years ago, I'll never forget, we had to know pretty much something about everything. And when we finished all our bar prep courses, which I took every bar prep course I could get, we had one of the ladies who taught the course said at the end of it, she said, "Congratulations, you are all experts in the law. You'll graduate and develop your niche, but right now you're all experts in the overall practice of law." Well, if this next gen is the bar exam they're going to take, then the answer is going to be no, they won't. So we're looking at right now a watering down of the standards. But Justice Mitchell says one of his major concerns is the National Commission on Bar Examiners is committed to diversity and inclusion agendas, which he believes are why they are doing this, trying to basically lower the standards to get in. That's the practice of law, which I love, by the way. I'm proud to be an attorney. And that bar exam, it was a nutcracker, man. It was 3 days of just slaving to try and recall everything with questions. Like, they give you even the multiple choice, which you think, oh, good, it's multiple choice. No, the multiple choice sucked. The multiple choice was like, you have to read a big fact pattern, and then they would give you five options, three of which are right. You have to pick the best right answer. Oh, my gosh. That's just not right. All right, that's the practice of law. What about the practice of medicine? I mean, they won't mess with that. I mean, if you're going to be a doctor, you've got a lot to do to prove you're a doctor, right? You got to take the MCAT test, and then you got to prove, by the way, that you can be a doctor, and you got to get the grades, and then you got to, you know, graduate from there and go through your residency, and maybe not. Real Clear Politics has a story that came out just about 45 days ago. America's top medical schools are worried that they have too few minority students, and they're doing something about it. They're lowering academic standards for admission and trying to hide the evidence. It says that Columbia, Harvard, University of Chicago, Stanford, Mount Sinai, and University of Pennsylvania have all done so. There are 40 medical schools that have lowered their standards, according to this article on Real Clear Politics. One of the things they're doing is they're downplaying the need for the MCAT test. The MCAT test is how they assess whether you should even get in. So they're doing things like doing away with certain portions of it, like, you know, and lessening the focus on things like biology and biochemistry and organic chemistry. I mean, why would they do this? There is no good reason to do it for the true practice of medicine. There's everything to do with trying to lower the bar to get more people in of a certain demographic that you believe is somehow underrepresented. But where's the pride in being the doctor with the asterisk by your name that says, you know, you kind of got handed your opportunity to get in? How about this? Just college alone, which I get, I mean, not everybody's meant to go to college. Doesn't matter. I mean, if we need people in the trades. We need folks in every industry. But for those that are going to college, shouldn't there be standards? Well, Columbia University, that's the second time I've mentioned their name, Columbia University is doing away with SAT and ACT scores as part of the graduate admissions process. Why would they do this? There is no good reason to do this. It's because, according to the article here on New York Post, dated March of this year, it's because they're ditching merit for diversity. There you go. Once again, you know, I think we better diversity, equity, inclusion. What do we do? Do we reach out and recruit? Do we tell them that they can do this? Do we make sure that we've got good schools before they get to the graduate and undergraduate levels? No. Let's just make it easier. That's a good idea. That's going to make folks want to come flock to your medical practice or your legal practice or whatever else. It says that nearly all colleges made the SAT and the ACT scores optional during the COVID pandemic, but most institutions are still sticking with that. However, I do point out that the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, they said, no, we're putting this back in place. And so good on them. Before I get into whether the military is lowering its standards, let me jump on the phones real quick. Lion One, Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
Nashville, 5 miles an hour. That's all you need to know.
you gotta find an alternate route, dude.
Well, I tell you, I wish you all would ever get in the roads down in Alabama and put them up here where you can get around Nashville. That's what we need.
You need a bypass. You do, man. You do. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?
Oh, I know. Hey, they've lowered the standards on everything, Phil. I mean, nothing is as good as it used to be. I mean, look at Joe Biden. We lowered the standards for low-end presidents. You don't even have to come out of the basement to be one. You don't even have to have a thought run through your head. Somebody will tell you what to do. I mean, come on. I mean, the Easter Bunny sit there waving him off. You know, it's like, come on, man. Don't talk. We know you're not able to.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm wiping away tears right now. Well, you know.
Yeah, but it should be crying because it's so sad, actually.
You know, but you just look at this, and the dumbing down of America is maddening because it never should be a thing that if you want more people in a certain profession that you lower the standards. What you really need to do is up the standards and then go out there and recruit people and make them want to be the best. And yet the progressive option is always, let's just make it easier. And that's just nuts.
Yeah. All you have to do to see the dumbing down of America and the lower standards is to watch any man on the street, like a campus reform or something like that, asking college students simple questions, and they really don't have a clue. I mean, I don't know. My two granddaughters are homeschooled, and they're much more intelligent than what some of these college education people, you know, going to college are any day. I mean, I guarantee they can answer who was the president, who was the first president of the United States. I don't think there's some of them can do it.
Oh no, they'd say Donald Trump or something like that.
Ask them when the World War II was fought. I mean, that's simple enough, and that hadn't been that long ago.
Well, you could probably ask them.
I don't have a clue.
You could ask them when was the War of 1812 fought, and it would totally mystify them.
they have asked them that before. I've seen them, and they struggled with it and couldn't figure it out.
Oh my gosh! Hey, I got Jeff. I got another caller on the line. I got to take it for the break, buddy. You have a great day. Be careful out there. All right. Hey, line two, Richard from Madison. Richard, how you doing?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
So, well, all this equity stuff that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
The thing that keeps coming to my mind is, how come we don't do it in sports when it comes to people making the teams? Seriously, if you think about it, think about what we would do as a nation if we started going by equity versus equality. And equality means everybody's got an equal shot at making it. If I had it my way when I was told I wanted to be a player in the NBA, I wanted to play basketball. That's all I ever wanted to do. That's all I did every day.
Right.
And I was 6 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, couldn't jump that well. I could shoot sometimes. So why didn't they lower the standards for me so that I could play and make those millions of dollars?
Because they wanted to win, that's why.
Well, not only that, but they want the crowd to come in. They don't want to watch some stupid average Joe like me go out there and play ball. They want to watch real people that know how to play the freaking game, you know?
Well, that's exactly
right. Common sense, and there just isn't any.
That's exactly right. Common sense is not always that common, is it?
Yeah, thank you so much for your show, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate you. All right, we're heading to a break right now. Come right back and wrap up the day. It's been a good one. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'll tell you who else is working to save the world right now. That's the ELM Foundation. ELM, ELM Foundation. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. So listen, check out their website if you get a chance. They're based in Huntsville, so the website is ELMHSV, as in ELM Huntsville. ELM Huntsville. elmhsv.org. So elmhsv.org. They're an organization, a 501c3, that is working hard to change people's lives who are down and out, living on the streets, you know, giving them back an opportunity to regain their self-worth, to get job skills, to get them back into a productive position to benefit society and themselves. And I'm telling you, it's kind of cool the way they do it. And by the way, as a 501c3, if you wanted to support them, just know that every dollar you give them goes into programs because they have one benefactor who has underwritten all their administrative costs so that everything else they raise goes straight to the good work they do. So check them out. Their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Hey, listen, a couple things here to wrap up this section, the Triple Dipper, dumbing us down. Well, one of the things that's also happening is this has really been it's been a time of lowering standards for the Department of Defense, which is amazing. You know, I talked about the getting rid of the SAT and the ACTs to get into college. I talked about, you know, lowering the standards on admissions for both the legal and medical professions. I didn't even mention the fact that they're also trying to do that with CPAs and lowering the number of hours that you have to have before you can, you know, get your entrance to the CPA title and the exam. That to say, the DOD is right there with the rest of it. Story here on the Daily Caller. This came out right at the end of last year. It says the military is scrambling to adjust its policies in a way that attracts more recruits, prompting some lowering of physical fitness and academic standards that could negatively impact military readiness. The Navy, it says, opened up their service to more potential sailors who score at minimum levels on entrance exams, things that test their physical and mental aptitudes. New guidelines, it says, will allow up to 7,500 recruits, or 20% of their force, their recruiting force, to come in at the lowest possible standards. The Air Force also relaxed their entrance requirements. It says a new policy revealed just in September of last year that you can test positive for THC during your entrance physical, and they can work with you on, never mind the fact that you're a marijuana user. The DOD also shortened the amount of time that individuals who have a past history of things like asthma or ADHD in their records can have before they're allowed to enlist without a waiver. And then you got things like Secretary Austin reversed a years-long ban on people who have prior history of being infected with HIV. So you can get in now. And then lastly, the Army even changed its performance metrics to on things like age and gender when it comes to the PT test, the physical training test, because the new Army combat fitness test was just too hard, apparently. And especially women kept failing the test. So what'd they do? They lowered the standards. It's just, you know, it ain't good. It ain't the way it's supposed to be. Hey, I'll say this. Brian from Huntsville says, got all three dippers done. You get an A+, even if John from Huntsville disagrees. He says, if John from Huntsville disagrees, he gets a B-. But John from Huntsville did text in and say, Phil, you get an A++, and Boomer also gets an A++, and there you go. And by the way, John also texted in and said, and when they try to dumb me down, I just eat more Smarties. That's what he says. All right, you guys, listen, amazing show, great show, good stuff happening. I do believe we're going to have a congressman on the air with us tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. Have an amazing night. We'll see you then.